If you want to turn to Joshua chapter 1, that's where we'll begin our lesson this evening. Hope their time together in the Word these next few minutes will be useful and encouraging to us. We are going to be looking at a lot of different passages, and some of those are going to all just be up on the board. I'll have big chunks of text up there. You can follow looking there. You can follow in your own Bible. But I want us to see from the Scripture clearly some of these points that we're trying to make of what God is expecting from us. As you start here, looking at Joshua chapter 1, we're going to be beginning looking at what I'm going to call Joshua's charge. And so, I don't know if that's a word we use every day, but kind of the Lord coming and telling Joshua, you know, do this, rise up, and that's how the book starts. And so, whenever in this lesson I'm talking about Joshua's charge, this is what I'm talking about, this is what I'm referring to. So let's read these verses together, Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore rise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea going down toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So many things we could pull out from this text. I'll just try to make some bullet points. I think it's interesting that the first words out of the Lord's mouth in verse 2 is a statement of the obvious. Moses, my servant, is dead. And I'm not the first person to make this point, but you think about this, Joshua knows that. I mean, Joshua is keenly aware that Moses is gone. Why does the Lord start by telling him, you know, Moses is dead? Maybe it's because Joshua needs to just accept the reality of the situation. Aren't we sometimes like that, where the obvious is right before us? You know, this is a problem. This is a thing in your life or in this world. And we don't want to accept that. It's much easier to bury our head in the sand. But no, here's the reality before Joshua. Moses is dead, and you're called to be the leader. And so God's calling him to rise up and to do that thing. And so he tells him to do the job before him. Joshua here is given the specific task of leading the people, almost like a king. He's not the king, but he's the leader of the people. And he's a military leader, yes, but he's also kind of the single soul guy leading the people into the land of Canaan. And so he's there leading them all as their military leader, their captain, to bring them into battle, to take the land, city after city, and to take what God had promised to them. And so he says, you need to rise up and to do this job. Arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people. I'm giving you this land. I'm giving you all the land, from the river to the Euphrates, to all the land of the Hittites, to the Great Sea, and no one will stand before you. And God says, I'll bring you victory. And he gives those great words in verse 5, I will be with you. Those words are so obvious and so just plain. I will be with you. It's almost easy to skip over and not see how important that is. That's a repeated idea throughout the Scripture. You think about all the people that God told, I will be with you, I'll be with you. God told Abraham, I'll be your shield. And other individuals through the Scripture, don't worry, I'll be with you, I'll be with you. This is actually kind of a key idea in Scripture. I mean, if God is going to be with us, then everything's going to be okay. Jesus said, go into all the world, make disciples, and I will be with you. That kind of idea. And so if Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. And so I'll be with you. And then he says, okay, because of that, because I'm with you to bring you victory, be strong and courageous. You need to do this job that lies before you. In fact, he says it twice. And the second time he says, be strong and very courageous. And it'd be easy to just see the job, but not really want to rise up and take that responsibility and really kind of grab it with both hands and do the work that lies before him. He says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of what lies before you. I'm with you. Be strong and very courageous. So do not fear. Now, you probably heard this before, but this is the most often a given command in the Bible. Now, I haven't done that count. I haven't found all the commands and how many times they all show up. But what I've been told, the people who have done that count, is that command number one is not most repeated, you know, love the Lord or whatever. It's don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And it's given a lot because what are we tempted to do? We're tempted to be afraid. And so here it is. Don't be afraid. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous for the job that lies before you. And God says, I will make your way prosper. It's not going to be because of how great Joshua was. And you think about the battles he's about to fight. Jericho. Did the walls of Jericho fall because of how great Joshua was? Well, of course not. It was because of how great the Lord was and the instructions of the Lord. I'll make your way prosper. But then he gives some of the other instructions to Joshua. And this is what our lesson will focus on a little bit more, which is when he says, be careful to obey all of God's words. And you think about what Joshua's commanded to do, and maybe everything up to that point you kind of have guessed. You know, be strong, gird up your sword, go fight the enemy. And then he says, it's really important, it is significant, it is imperative that you follow carefully everything God has given to you. He says things in here like this, verse 7. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. So you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. So he says, obey all the law. You know, you need to make sure you're obeying everything that Moses commanded. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Read and think about God's word night and day. And so this is a part of what Joshua is called to, almost like what you might think of as like a preacher, right? Of a rabbi, someone sitting and meditating on the law day and night. And that's what Joshua is called to do so that his way will prosper, so that God can bless him in this thing. There's some great sentiments in here. Look at what he says in verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. What's with the mouth idea? Well, some of that I think might be this idea of internalizing God's word. I mean, it's so much a part of you. It's in your head, it's in your heart, and it's coming out in your speech. Doesn't the Lord say, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks? And so the mouth revealing that. So this shall be in your mouth. And so it's not just in your head, it's a part of who you are. Another thing when he says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, that might be a reference to just reading the law. That we're told by history, and this shows up in the Bible as well, I don't know if you knew this, that our forefathers, the ancients, tended to read out loud. They didn't tend to read silently to themselves like we do, right? I mean, if I came in your home and I saw you reading, I probably wouldn't hear you. You're sitting, you're living, you're reading, whatever it is. You're probably reading silently. But history tells us, and the Bible reflects this, that you would tend to read out loud. Remember when Philip finds the Ethiopian eunuch in the chariot, and he runs up alongside it, and he's reading from the book of Isaiah. And how does Philip know that he's reading from the book of Isaiah? Because he hears him reading from the book. So there he is in the chariot, in the bumpy chariot, and he's reading it out loud. So maybe that's part of the Lord's instructions to Joshua when he says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. It's this internalizing of Scripture, but it's also this reading of Scripture and being in it. And so what you see here, I kind of broke this down, you got the promises of this section. I'll be with you. I'll bless you. I'll make your way prosperous. I will make you to succeed. But what's Joshua's part of it? It's kind of God's part, Joshua's part. You know, this is almost a covenant agreement. I'll do these things, but Joshua, you've got to do your part. And the instructions are, you've got to do the job. You've got to rise up and take the land. You have to do that. It says, be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't fear. It's going to be okay. It says, be careful to obey God's words. Careful to obey according to all the law that Moses has given. Now, here's what we're going to do for the next few minutes. It may seem tedious, but actually that's kind of part of the point, is I want you to see how these instructions and how these sentiments and ideas are not limited to Joshua chapter 1, but that this shows up throughout the Scripture. These kind of things that we see here are really all over the Scripture. Here's a really cool way that this shows up. This charge to Joshua is really repeated, strongly and echoed, when David gives instructions to his son, Solomon. It's kind of an interesting idea, kind of an interesting parallel, because just as Joshua is here at the beginning of his reign, power, you know, leadership, that's the best word, the beginning of his leadership, he needs to go in and do the job. Well, David's about to die, and he's about to make Solomon king. And do you remember what Solomon's big job was, is that he was supposed to do when he rose up to be king? I saw someone mouth that. He's supposed to build the temple, right? David's done all kinds of preparations, but he's not allowed to build it. And so he's giving it to Solomon to do. So look here in 1 Chronicles and see, maybe some of these words that we've been looking at will sound a little familiar. Look at 1 Chronicles 22, verses 11 through 13. It says there, this is David speaking to Solomon. Now, my son, the Lord be with you, so that you may succeed in building the house of the Lord your God, as he has spoken concerning you. Only may the Lord grant you discretion and understanding, that when he gives you charge over Israel, you may keep the law of the Lord your God. Then you will prosper, if you are careful to observe the statutes and the rules that the Lord commanded Moses for Israel. Be strong and courageous. Fear not. Do not be dismayed. Sound familiar? I mean, almost line for line there in some of those parts. And look just a little bit later in the same book. You can go forward a few chapters to 1 Chronicles 28, verse 20. And this will jump out to you. I think you'll see this. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 20. Then David said to Solomon his son, be strong and courageous and do it. Do not be afraid. And do not be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, is with you. He will not leave you or forsake you till all the work for the service of the house of the Lord is finished. You see it? I mean, it's there, line by line. The Lord telling, what the Lord told to Joshua, David is now telling to Solomon. Be strong, courageous, do it, don't be afraid, don't be dismayed, God will be with you. He won't leave you until this job is done. And so we see this here, right? That this is showing up in other places of Scripture. And did we see how Solomon was instructed that you've got to follow the law? That was more back in chapter 22 when David is saying to Solomon, may the Lord grant you discretion and understanding so that you may keep the law of the Lord your God, and you'll prosper if you're careful to obey the statutes and the rules that the Lord commanded Moses for Israel. And so just like Joshua, you might think, well, he's a military leader. Why does he got to be in the law day and night so he can follow it? Well, you can say the same thing for Solomon. He's building the temple. What does that have to do with the laws and the intricacies of what Moses commanded? It's everything, because God has given him those instructions, and he needs to be diligent and careful to obey by the help of God. Here, may the Lord give you help to do this. Well, I'll ask this question. Is this language of this charge to Joshua used in other places in Scripture? And this is the kind of exercise you could do. Now, this is not limited to, you know, special magical preacher, you know, technology. You could take any of these phrases and go online to like BibleGateway.com or other websites and just type in, you know, be strong and courageous, and see how many times that shows up in Scripture. You could type in, I will be with you, and see all the times, or don't be afraid. You can do these kind of searches yourself. Here's one that I wanted to do. I liked this from Joshua chapter 1. We didn't highlight it yet. But do you remember what the Lord told Joshua in verse 7? It says, don't turn from the law to the right hand or to the left. And what a great picture, right? Is don't turn from that law to the right or to the left. I want to see if this shows up in other places of Scripture. Well, it does, of course. This terminology of don't turn to the left or to the right, it shows up in non, you know, kind of special circumstances. In Numbers 20, the Israelites, they're trying to get to where they're going, and they need to pass through the land of Edom. And they tell the Edomites, they say, look, we need to get to the land. We're going to walk on the king's highway here. We're not going to walk through your yards. We're not going to drink your water. We're not going to, you know, eat your food. But just let us pass through. And remember in that story, they don't let him. They say, no, you can't go through. But what he says here is, please let us pass through your land. We will not pass through field or vineyard or drink water from a well. We will go along the king's highway. We will not turn aside to the right hand or to the left until we've passed through your territory. What's that a picture of? It's a picture of staying on the road. And we don't go off this way. We don't go off this way. But we stay where we're supposed to go on the path, not going to the right or to the left. And interestingly, two chapters later, this is Balaam with his talking donkey. You may remember that story. And the angel of the Lord there is about to kill Balaam. And it says he goes to a narrow place where there's no way to turn to the right or to the left. You know, maybe there's a wall there, or an alleyway between buildings or something. And so, you know, Balaam can't go to the right or the left, and so he's got him. And it's this picture of staying on the path. Well, this phrase, don't turn to the right or the left, actually shows up earlier in the book of Deuteronomy. So if you've been reading Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, you get to Joshua chapter 1, and Joshua is told, stay in the commands, be careful to obey, don't turn to the right or to the left. Say, ah, I heard that back in Deuteronomy. It shows up twice there. In chapter 5, the Lord, Moses says this, but you stand here by me, and I will tell you the whole commandment and the statutes and the rules that you shall teach them, that they may do them in the land that I'm giving them to possess. You shall be careful, therefore, to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, and that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land that you shall possess. You see that? He says, be careful to do as the Lord has commanded you. So don't turn aside. Don't go to the right or the left. Stay on the path. Stay according to the instructions. And then much later in the book, in chapter 28, it says, the Lord will open you his good treasury, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, to bless all the work of your hands. He shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow, if you obey the commands of the Lord your God, which I command you today. Be careful to do them. If you do not turn aside from any of the words that I command you today, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God, or be careful to do all his commands and his statutes that I command you today, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Same idea, right? Don't turn to the right hand or to the left. And this is cool because if you continue reading in the Old Testament, what you find is when you come to one of the greatest kings of Judah, when he's introducing Josiah, you come to 2 Chronicles 34, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in the ways of David his father, and he did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You see that showing up all through the scripture here. He stayed on the path, the instructions that the Lord gave him. And so that showing up all these places, the importance of sticking to the law and sticking to God's instructions. So, here's what I want us to see, is those words show up in different places of Scripture, and I want us to see clearly that Joshua's charge, the charge we saw in Joshua chapter 1, is so similar to what Moses said already in Deuteronomy. We're going to look at passages in Deuteronomy 4 and 5 and 6 and 7, and it's kind of this repeated drumbeat of God instructing the people, obey, you need to obey, you've got to obey. Don't have a heart that says, it's okay if I don't obey. You need to obey. So I want us to see this, and I hope it'll just sink in. It's like if you were reading Deuteronomy here, to see at chapter after chapter Moses' warnings to the people. And now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the rules that I'm teaching you, and do them that you may live and go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it. that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you. Therefore you shall keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you today, that it may go well with you and with your children after you, that you may prolong your days in the land that the Lord your God has given you for all time. Chapter 5, into chapter 6. But you, stand here by me, and I will tell you the whole commandment and the statutes and the rules, and you shall teach them, that they may do them in the land that I am giving you to possess. You shall be careful, therefore, to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or the left. You shall walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, and that it may go well with you, that you may live long in the land that you shall possess. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules, that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, so that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son and your son's son, by keeping all the statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, that your days may be long. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Later in the chapter, and the Lord commanded us to do these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as we are this day. And it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to do all this commandment before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us. Chapter 7, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the smallest of all peoples. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations, and repays to their face those who hate him by destroying them. He will not be slack with one who hates him. He will repay him to his face. You therefore shall be careful to do the commandment and the statutes and the rules that I command you this day. And because you listen to these rules and keep and do them, the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant and the steadfast love that he swore to your fathers. Chapter 8, the whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. You shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you know hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, a man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Joshua's charge is similar to the sentiment we see in the Psalms. Remember Psalm 1? There it says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the wicked, but his delight is in the law of Jehovah. And on his law he doth meditate day and night. And that sounds like Joshua chapter 1, being in the law day and night. And Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible. Great verses here in Psalm 119. Look at how the psalmist here, how he considers God's law. It is an interesting thing to me. In Psalm 119, it's the longest chapter in all of Scripture. And what is Psalm 119 about? Psalm 119 is about the Bible. I mean, the longest chapter in the Bible is about the Bible itself. Isn't that a little curious? I mean, wouldn't you think it'd be about something else? But Psalm 119 is God's instructions and this heart of the person writing this psalm, this poem, how much he loves God's laws, how much he loves God's rules, how much he wants God's help to follow them. He'll cry to God saying, God, help me, show me your way so I can keep him. I love you, Lord. Help me to obey your statutes. Look at these verses here. Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8, and then we'll read 25 to 40 just to get a flavor of this psalm. Psalm 119, verse 1. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. You've commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I'll praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. Verse 25. My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. When I told of my ways, you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Put false ways far from me, and graciously teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise that you may be feared. Turn away the reproach that I dread, for your rules are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life. So you see that this idea, he wants to obey. God, help me. Teach me your ways. Give me understanding so I can keep your law and observe it with all of my heart. I delight in your rules. I want to know what your will is, God, so I can keep it. Lord, I love you. I trust you. Give me life according to your word. You see this idea, and this just echoes back to what we've seen over and over again. Okay, so what's the point of all this? We've looked at a lot of scripture. We've looked at several verses here. But here's what I'm trying to do, is establish this Old Testament theme of seeking God. And that seeking God means, includes at least, it includes, part of that is this diligence in learning God's will, learning what God has to say, and being in the Word, and obeying the Word. Now, we're going to see this in the New Testament in a minute, but I think we have an idea in this day and age that says you can love God and you can kind of have a life filled with Jesus that is different than this, that doesn't include this pouring yourself out before God. Help me to understand your law, your instructions, so that I can obey. I want to obey. Teach me your ways. Help me, Lord, because I want to do this. And we can't separate those things. We can't say, well, I seek God, but his instructions aren't that important. I hope we see that from through the Old Testament, that's not the way it works. And help us to see this idea in the New Testament as well. Look at these New Testament passages. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5. It says, "For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of God. Whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of God." You see, there Jesus speaking there, it's maybe difficult to know, is Jesus referring to his instructions or is he referring to the old law? I don't think it really matters, because he says you can't relax the least of these. You can't break the least of the commandments. If you break the least of the commandments, you're least in the kingdom. But if you do them and teach them, you're great in the kingdom. And so the littlest part of the law of Moses, Jesus was interested in keeping and obeying. Jesus says at the end of the book, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you." And that sounds so much like observe all that Moses has commanded you. Observe everything that Jesus has said. So go make people to be disciples and baptize them into the Lord. Baptize them into the name of the Father, Son, and the Spirit, and then teach them everything. Teach them everything I'm instructed, because they need to follow all of that. Romans 6, great passage here. Paul just said in Romans 6, you know, you're not under the law. You're not even under a system of law anymore. You're under grace. Okay, what then? Are we to sin because we're not under law but under grace? He says, no, not at all. By no means. So don't you know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you're slaves of the one you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, you've become slaves of righteousness. See what Paul's saying there? You've been set free from the consequences of sin. Okay, so now what does that mean? It means you need to serve the Lord. You're going to be a slave to someone. We can't escape that. So you can either be a slave to sin and give yourself to sin to do what sin would have you do, or give yourself to the Lord. Here, a picture of being a slave of obedience. becoming a slave of righteousness. I'm going to give myself to God. And he says here that you became... Is there a laser pointer here. It says there, you were once slaves of sin and you've become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. When we decided to follow the Lord, we're now committed to the standard. You know, the instructions are there. And so if I'm going to follow the Lord, he says, you've been committed, given to this set of teaching, the standard of teaching. So then now that you're free from sin, you can serve the Lord and live in this obedience to God. That's what our role is as Christians. And so Paul is essentially saying there, I know you were forgiven of your sins, but if you still serve sin, if you still serve unrighteousness, the wages of sin is death. And so you can't go back to that. Paul says about the gospel in Galatians 1, verse 6, I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting whom called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one that we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let it be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that is preached by me is not man's gospel. And so this idea of, I've got to serve the Lord. And so it doesn't matter what other people do. I've got to serve the Lord. I think that brings us back to this Joshua idea. I've got to stick with what the Lord has said. I've got to be diligent to learn it so I can follow and obey what Jesus has given to me. Hebrews 2, therefore we must pay much closer attention to what we've heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? And later in the book, see that you don't refuse him who's speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. Do you see the contrast here that the writer is making? He says, in the old law, if you set aside the law and you disobeyed, there's punishment for that. He says, since the message declared by angels, that's the law of Moses, given to Moses by those angels, if that was reliable and if you sinned, there was a just retribution, what about when the Son of God comes? What about if the Son of God comes and gives you instructions? What about that? I mean, if the message of angels could get you killed, what about the message declared by Jesus, God's Son? So you've got to be careful, pay much closer attention, and don't refuse him who is speaking. And so we need to be careful to follow the Lord. Let's look at this passage here in Hebrews 13. Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have, for he said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Does that sound familiar? I will never leave you or forsake you? See, the Hebrews writer there is actually quoting Joshua's charge in Joshua 1, verse 5. What a great passage. Keep your life free from love of money. God will take care of you. Be content with the things that you have. I'll be with you. I won't forsake you. I won't leave you. You may feel poor, but God will give you the things that you need. So don't love money. Be content, because I will never leave you or forsake you. And those are the things that God told Joshua. You may have a footnote. My ESV Bible does. The footnote quoting here, Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. So these instructions are for us. Follow the Lord and serve him, and I will never leave you or forsake you. Okay, so I hope that what we've seen in all of this is that the teachings in Joshua's charge are not limited to Joshua chapter 1. And we remember all the things that God said there in Joshua 1. Do the job before you. I will be with you. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. God will make your way to prosper. He will bless you. Be careful to obey. Obey all the law. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Read the word. Think about God's word day and night. You have these promises. I'll be with you and bless you. Do the job. These are the instructions. Be strong and courageous and rise up. And be careful to obey God's word. Okay, so now we've looked at all those scriptures. I just have some questions for us to think about. Number one, what does this teach us about God? Whenever we read any section of scripture, the question we need to ask ourselves is, first of all, what does this teach us about God? And what does it teach us about ourselves? So now that we've seen this, that God has given these instructions, do we learn some things about God in these instructions that were given? What does this teach us about God? Well, I think what it teaches us is, number one, God values truly obedient hearts. That's what God wanted from Joshua. That's what Moses told the people in Deuteronomy. That's what Josiah did when he didn't turn to the right or to the left. That's what we're called to do, to commit ourselves to the standard that we've been committed to, Romans chapter 6. And that's what God wants to see in us. It is a heart that loves God, a heart that wants to be close to God, a heart that wants to serve God and do what God has instructed. So in this relationship that we have with God, where we trust the Lord more than we trust ourselves, and we love God more than we love ourselves, and we're wanting to please God in everything, that in that relationship then, we're called to submit ourselves to Him, to carefully try to follow everything that God has said, because He's given instructions, and we don't want to take that lightly. We might prefer for God to value nice people. You know, don't we sometimes feel that? I wish just God was just pleased with nice people. There's so many nice people out there. They're just good-hearted people. And maybe we want God just to kind of be pleased with us when we're nice. Or just religious people. You know, God, can't you just be pleased with religious people that do some of these nice religious things? But what God says is, no, I want you to be in my book. And I want you to turn, not to the right. I don't want you to turn to the left. I want you to be careful to obey. And that's how your way will be prosperous. That's what God's looking for, is this heart that really wants to obey, that cries out like the psalmist does in Psalm 119. I've given myself to this way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. I cling to your word. I cling to your testimonies. Don't let me be put to shame, God. I want to do what's right. Help me, Lord. Help me. That's the heart that God values, when we cry out to Him like that. The other thing that we learn from this in Joshua is He wants us to do our part, but when we do that, He's going to take care of the rest. Is Joshua told, Joshua, it's all up to you now. Here's a job, going to take the land. Good luck with that. I hope that goes great for you. And here's all these rules you're given too. You got to keep them, you know. Hope that goes well. No, God says to him, be strong, courageous. Rise up. Be careful to obey. But when you do that, I will be with you. I will strengthen you. I'll make your way prosper. You'll go in and take this land. So you rise up and do the job that I have given to you. So we need to diligently obey, but we need to remember that God gives the victory. I mean, should Joshua think for one second that he, by his own strength and power and brains, conquered the land and did this himself? It's going to be God every step of the way. Zechariah says, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. That's how this is going to be accomplished, is by God's strength working in us. When we give ourselves to the Lord, when we commit ourselves completely to Him, as they said when they received the law, everything, Lord, that you said to do, we'll do that. And when the Lord sent out the apostles, teach them to observe everything that I've commanded, and I'll be with you. I'll be with you to the end of the age. We've got to do our part, but God will do His part too. And we can trust that. We need to trust in that, because it's a difficult road ahead of us. But we need to trust that when we give ourselves completely to the Lord, to do His will, and to seek Him with all of our hearts, that God will be with us and bless us and strengthen us to accomplish His will. What we learn from this about God is God wants to bring victory and to help us. God wants Joshua to be successful. He's not setting him up for failure. He wants Joshua to be able to do this. In fact, that's kind of the whole point, is Joshua, you can do this. I'll be with you to do this. I'll bring you this victory. So rise up and do the task that is before you. And maybe in our lives, sometimes He's just waiting for us to obey. There's a great verse here in Isaiah 30 where God says, so I'm waiting. I'm waiting for you to come so that I can bless you. I wonder if God feels that way sometimes about our lives. He's waiting to bless us. He wants to bless us. He wants to help us. And so He's just kind of waiting there until we return and come back to Him and commit ourselves to Him once again to start doing His will and not our own will. God wants to do that. God wants to bless. God wants to help. So maybe sometimes He's just waiting for us to do that so that He can help us and bring that blessing and victory in whatever it is that lies before us. And the second question I want to ask ourselves is, are we living out Joshua's charge? Do we see that our life needs to be Joshua chapter 1? That we need to give ourselves to the Lord, to be diligent to do that so that He can bless us, so that we can rise up and be strong and courageous to whatever it is that lies before us. So can I say about myself, number one, can I say that I'm in the book of the law? That those words are on my mouth, I'm meditating on it day and night. Is that true of me? Is it true that that's how much I value God's word? Am I seeking to carefully obey all of God's word? I was reading this morning in 2 Timothy chapter 2. It says, an athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. You think about that. If we wanted that crown of life, we got to be a runner, running that race. And there's some rules about that race. We got to keep those rules. And so am I being careful, seeking carefully to obey everything God has said? Am I trusting that the Lord is with us? Am I saying, Lord, I give myself to you, so help me, Lord. Strengthen me, Lord. Be with me, Lord. And rise up in courage to do that. Am I moving forward with courage to whatever it is that lies before me? So am I living this out, Joshua's charge, in my life? I'll ask this question. Am I guilty of making religion what I want it to be? It's so easy to do. That instead of my life being about giving it to God, whatever He wants it to be, that I sit here and kind of want Christianity to serve me, for God to serve me. So now religion actually becomes just a further manifestation of my will, instead of being like the Lord, who completely submitted Himself to the Father's will. Am I guilty of making religion what I want it to be? Am I seeking the truth diligently? I fear that in the religious world as a whole, we don't have this desire to seek God and to seek His instructions with all of our heart, to give ourselves completely to God in every way. And so it's easy to point the finger at the religious world. Is that out there? You know, it should be. But here's the real question. What about us? You know, instead of that, what about me and you? Are we seeking God with all of our heart so that we can give ourselves to the Lord whatever it is that He wants me to do? Am I guilty of making religion what I want it to be in terms of trusting the Lord and moving forward with courage? You know, that's part B of this. It's not just about life is one endless Bible study. It's that at some point I got to rise up and do what the Lord has called me to do. And that may be hard for some of us. Some of us may resist this idea of just total submission to God's will and seeking God. But, you know, some of us may love Bible study. Yeah, that's great. Let's read the Bible. But then what about rising up in courage to actually do those things that we see the Lord instructing for us to do? You know, that's hard too. And as I was thinking about this lesson, you know, it's so easy to look at other people's lives and their challenges and say, oh, that would have been easy. You know, Joshua, man, God was working miracles, you know, and he was a man of faith and God was talking to him, you know, and if God was talking to me like that, I could go in and take the land. I bet that was hard. I mean, think about that. It'd be easy to just say, I don't want this job. I didn't ask for this job. And I got to go and do this difficult thing. Maybe even easier for us to see with David's charge to Solomon, where those very words are repeated again. You think, big deal. You know, Solomon, build the temple. I mean, that was a huge job. That was a huge job. It'd be easy to say, I don't want any part of that. There's a lot about that that'd be intimidating to have to rise up in leadership and make this happen. And if I was in his shoes, that might be an overwhelming kind of idea to rise up and do that. So that's precisely why, maybe, David says to him, be strong and courageous and go and do this, and God will be with you to accomplish this task. So what about for us? I mean, there's not a temple that you've got to build, and there's not a land that you need to take by the Lord's army. What is it in your life that you need to just trust in the Lord, give yourself fully to Him, to do God's will in every way, and then just to trust that God is with you, to rise up in courage and do the thing that lies before you to do? I love the parable that Jesus gives in Mark 4 when He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. It's the smallest of the seeds, but you plant it, and it grows to be larger than the other trees. And the point is not that it's literally the smallest seed ever, or that it becomes literally the biggest tree ever. It's a picture of what God's word can do in your life if you let it take plant. If you let it take root in your heart, what the gospel will do in your life. And maybe I've used this illustration here before. But what God's word has got to be in our life, that seed planted to take over, and let God have control, and then with courage would step forward in faith, that needs to be like kudzu. You know what kudzu is, right? It's that plant that if the little bit of that plant gets in that lake, it takes over the whole lake, right? You know, don't let kudzu take over this lake. So check your boat, check the motor. Don't let any kudzu in there because it'll just take over. You know, careful, because that little plant, if you give it an inch, if you let it take root, it's gone. It's going to take over everything. I've heard the bamboo's the same way. There's a brother who used to be in New York with us that said, bamboo, it grows fast, and if those roots get in your yard, you'll never get it out. You know, it's this picture of rapid growth, and it just takes over, and there's nothing stopping it. And that's what the gospel needs to be in our life, is we let Jesus into our heart to take over my life. I give myself to you entirely, Lord. No barriers anymore. I'll just do what you want me to do, and I'll be diligent to obey. And that's how God can use us. That's how God will bring about his will in our life. I can rise up like Joshua with courage to let the gospel completely take over. You know, we don't want the gospel sometimes to be like kudzu. We don't want the gospel to be like bamboo. Sometimes we want the gospel to be like a little bonsai tree. You know what I'm talking about? Those little cute trees, they're like this big, and they look like miniature full-grown trees, and they sit in your window, and they don't do a thing. And we want the gospel to be like bonsai, right? In control, manageable, staying put. It's exactly where it was when I left it. And my life can pretty much continue as it was. Don't let the gospel in your life be like bonsai. Let the Lord take over your life. And rise up and do everything that the Lord has instructed. And then he'll make your way prosper. So be strong, courageous. Be strong and very courageous to rise up and do the Lord's will. He'll be with you. Entrust yourself to the Lord. I want us to look at how the book of Joshua ends. This is great. I came across this as I was getting ready for this lesson. Look in Joshua chapter 23. Because, maybe no surprise, when the book ends and they've conquered the land, now Joshua can put down that sword. The work has been done. And guess what? He stands before the people to encourage them to do what's right. He tells them to seek the Lord. He tells them to do what God has instructed them to do. And look at what he says to them in Joshua chapter 23, verse 6. It says, therefore, be strong to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, turning aside from it neither to the right hand nor to the left. Sound familiar? That you may not mix with these nations remaining among you, or make mention of the names of their gods, or swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them. You shall cling to the Lord your God, just as you've done this day. For the Lord has driven out before you great and strong nations. And as for you, no man has been able to stand before you to this day. One man of you puts to flight a thousand, since it is the Lord your God who fights for you, just as he's promised. Verse 11, be very careful, therefore, to love the Lord your God. Is that what you expected him to say? Be very careful, therefore, to love the Lord your God. That's part of this, isn't it? Isn't the first and greatest command to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength and might? That's what God calls us to do, is to love him, to trust him. And so when we're giving these ideas about be diligent to obey, be in the book day and night, meditate on God's word, it's in the context of this relationship we have with God. This is not me and just rule keeping. This is not me saving myself. This is because I love God. And I trust God. And I love him more than I love myself. And I trust him more than I trust myself. And so I love him. I'm going to do my best to love him. And so I give him my life. And I want to serve him with all of my heart. And I want to do the things he's instructed because I love him. So this brings us back to this relationship. Loving the Lord. And this needs to be our greatest motivation to serve him. We looked this morning at 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient, love is kind. And Paul says at the end of that book, he says, let all that you do be done in love. There's no greater motivation to serve the Lord. We need to fear him. Our God is a consuming fire. That's a New Testament verse. But we can't stop there. We've got to love God and be careful. Be very careful to love God and to love him and to seek him with all of our heart. He deserves our love more than anyone else, more than anything else. And we think about all the foolish things that we put in front of God. Think about all these idols we have. That instead of loving God with all my heart, I love this thing way too much. Instead of putting God absolutely first in my life. God deserves our love. The Lord died for us. And he gave his life for us. So am I going to put other things in first place? Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And Paul makes it personal. He says, Jesus on the cross loved me and gave himself for me. And so if the Lord loved me and gave himself for me, how could I love him except with all of my heart? And I give myself to him with all of my heart. Here's our invitation passage back in Deuteronomy. This is Deuteronomy 10, and it's going to include these ideas that we've looked at, but it's also a great invitation. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and the statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth with all that is in it. Yet the Lord set his heart in love on your fathers and chose their offspring after them, you above all peoples as you are this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no longer stubborn. And that's our invitation. It is for you to serve the Lord with all your heart. And he kind of gives a summary here. What's it all about? He says, what does God require of you except to fear the Lord, walk in his ways, all his ways, to love him, to serve him with all your heart, with all your soul, and to keep his commandments. And these commandments, he says, are for our good. He doesn't give us instructions because it's going to hurt us. Our loving Father tells us what we need and gives us instructions for our good. And so therefore, don't be stubborn. Therefore, he says, circumcise the foreskin of your heart. Get rid of that uncleanness. Get rid of that stubbornness. Don't be stubborn anymore. Don't think it's going to be okay to be stubborn. It's not okay to be stubborn. It's not okay to go before God and say, Lord, I know you called me to love you, but I'm going to hold back on you. Jesus said, if you love this life, you'll lose it. He says, you've got to give up this life to save your life. He says, unless you hate father and mother and son and daughter and mother-in-law and father-in-law, unless you hate everybody, yes, even your own life also, and follow me, you're not worthy of me. Don't be stubborn any longer. Serve the Lord your God with all your heart. And love him and be diligent to keep all his instructions. That's what God calls us. And he really deserves no less for what God has given us, rescued us and saved us when we didn't deserve it. And that's our call tonight. We want to help you spiritually. We want to help you serve the Lord. And if you need prayers, if you want to talk, if you want to study the Bible, even if you need to be baptized into the Lord Christ, we want to help in any way we can. Maybe even letting us know now as we stand and sing a song of invitation.